I've been entrepreneurial most of my life. I guess I'd consider myself an entrepreneur. I've never looked at it that way, but I guess that's the word you'd use to define it. I just try to do what I can where I am with what I have. That attribute of mine of just making the most of what's around me served me well when I was in the Army. You know, strategies I developed as a young person. I was raised early by a single mom and, you know, what we used to call latchkey kids. So I was moving around on my own. I was taking care of myself at an early age. Early on, I would, you know, find myself trying to think of ways to make money. Now as an adult, I refer to it as the arbitrage, trying to see where there's maybe some money in something that other people don't see. You know, as an adult, I've applied this to the real estate market. I've applied it to the stock market. And it's nothing genius. It's nothing anyone else couldn't do. I've done it in marketing. And most successfully, I did it early on on the internet. And I grew up with a father who's a computer programmer. So computers have always been part of my life. I mean, I'm no computer whiz, but I'm comfortable around computers. And as the internet was coming on board in like 95, 96, 97, seeing that arbitrage opportunity to make some easy money early on, you know, I was quick to see that. But all of that started as a young man. I'm a teenager. I don't remember the exact year, you know, 12, 13, 14 years old. I start responding to ads that I would see in the back of magazines or newspapers, you know, work from home, make $5,000. And I'd start to receive information and I would buy courses and kits and send off for things. And, you know, to my mom's disconcern, you know, that what is my son doing? And I'm sending off for these get rich quick courses. And I still do it today, you know. I don't think there's anything wrong with trying to get rich quick. It gets a bad rap, but I think you should be getting rich slowly and you should be trying to get rich quick. There's nothing wrong with that. Just don't try to get rich quick at the cost of not also getting rich slowly. I mean, the path to getting rich slowly is like super obvious, super simple, and it's right there. It's just the power of compounding money, you know, just working and investing. Not saving, working and investing. That's it. That's the path to getting rich for sure, for certainty. But in the meantime, we can do these get rich quick deals. We can do these deals where we try to make some money, and it's part of my nature. So I'm writing to these ads, I'm responding to ads in magazines, and I'm sending off $2, $5. Now, some people are just naturally skeptical of these things. Now, me personally, I have no time for that. I have no time for people who are skeptical about everything. You know, they're from Missouri, the show me state. You got to prove everything to them. I have zero time for that. I won't even bother. If I have to try to sell people on just the concept, meaning if you're a car salesman and you're trying to explain to someone why they even need a car, right? That's not your customer. That's what I mean by that. So I caught on to that idea real quick, that I'm only looking for people who are looking for me. And so that if I was selling something or I was promoting something, marketing something, whatever you want to call it, I need to just go to people who need this right now. Just go right to that target audience. And then I just got to refine my pitch in a better way, right? And so putting your offer, your promotion, your product, your service, you know, in front of the right people is half the battle. And so as I'm responding to these ads, I'm receiving all these offers and I'm trying to join network marketing programs before you're even legally allowed to join them. Like most of them, you have to be 18 years old. So I'm trying to get my dad to sign up and my dad is like, what the hell? Like, where's this coming from? What is my son doing? You know? And, I've just always had that bug and it served me well. Now I've joined at least 50 various network marketing programs, home-based businesses, schemes, affiliate programs, at least 50. Probably more like 100. And I've made money on virtually none of them. But I learned invaluable lessons in so many of them, and the different people that I met, and the different salesmen, and the different pitches. And I learned through this falling forward process, this failing process of joining and not making money and joining and not making money, I learned skills. See, I would watch people do the same as me. They would hop from opportunity to opportunity to opportunity, and they wouldn't bring the skill set from the last one to the next one. They had just mastered the process of hopping around from opportunity to opportunity. And, you know, people would label them get rich quickers, whatever. I just began to realize that those are my people. And so I began to look back and reflect on what were the things that I'd learned from these different opportunities. And these were the things that pointed me to books like Think and Grow Rich, meaning I would meet a guy, he would recruit me, he would be my sponsor, and he'd be like, hey, you should read this, you should read this, you should read this. And along the way, I learned to market. I learned how to cold call people. I learned how to call a stranger on a phone and try to pitch him, right? It was in this environment that people began, hey, you should be an investor. And I'd come across things like, you know, real estate investing. All these things are coming at me that now are so beneficial to me in my life, you know, 30 years later, because of the foundation that was laid, because of the failures that I had in network marketing and multi-level marketing. It was those failures. That's where my seeds were planted. You know, the seeds of greatness are planted in failure. It was through that discovery process. See, sometimes it's failing that teaches you how to do things. I know this has been for sure how I've learned to remodel real estate, how to own real estate, how to maintain a portfolio of real estate, and how to do it successfully and profitably. Literally is just failing, overpaying for a house, you know, redoing a bathroom, spending way too much, like literally failure after failure, mess up after mess up. And I learned each time, like, that's not how you do that, right? And each time I would just add to my skill set and my repertoire so that on the next project, I didn't make that same mistake. And that's the power of failure. The power of failure is it helps you go forward and do it better. And so I call this idea of falling forward fast, meaning you're failing, but you're falling forward each time, you know, like a running back when he gets hit and he puts his hand down and he bounces and he doesn't quite fall and he ends up ultimately getting 3 or 4 more yards. That's what happens here. And that was my experience through network marketing. I was just falling forward each time, getting a little nugget here, and a little nugget there that I could use when I clicked with the right opportunity. I want to say it's like 1992, 93, I get hooked into this idea of mailing postcards. Since that time, I've mailed over 10 million postcards. And those 10 million postcards have allowed me to sell over 50,000 books without Amazon and without a bookstore. Meaning I self-publish them, I stack them up in an office, and I ship them out. Network marketing taught me how to do that. It gave me permission to do that because it was a business model where I was free to be myself. You know, you can't do that when you own a dry cleaners. you know, nobody's coming into your dry cleaners to buy a book, you know? And so as I begin to, this industry that has a lot of negativity, a lot of negative feelings associated with the idea of recruiting friends and family, and people get, you know, they don't like to hear that. It allowed me to express myself. It allowed me a place to be celebrated, not tolerated, like most people are in work. But I know people who will go to jobs they hate, where they're tolerated to work with people they don't like. And then I'll talk to them on the phone and they criticize my industry that you can work from home and make a lot of money. Like, doesn't make any sense. But, you know, it is what it is. The beautiful thing about the industry that I liked about it and in all the interest of just direct marketing, or if you creating a product or a service and then just directly marketing it to the marketplace, is, you know, there's no cap. Like, you actually earn what you're worth. You earn to the value level that you bring to the marketplace. I'm only able to sell 55,000 books, and you've never heard of me. Oh, and by the way, some of those books I charge $299 for the book, and I've sold 55,000. The reason I've been able to do that is because of the skill set I learned of marketing and bringing something I believe of value to the marketplace. And if it's not of value, they won't buy it, right? And so this industry allowed me to just do me. Like, forget everyone, just do me. You know, when I was a prison guard, nobody's buying my book. Nobody cares. I'm tolerated. But in this industry, I became celebrated. And you get paid based on the value and the worth that you bring. And so if you've tried network marketing and multi-level and you failed, it's because you brought no value to anyone else. You were joining. Maybe you mailed some postcards. But that doesn't bring value to your fellow man. The people who are paid in that industry are people who bring value to their fellow man. And that was the point of me writing books and talking on talks like this and podcasts and doing teleseminars and trying to, you know, rah-rah encourage my people. I would write ads and I would publish them in magazines. I would go to people that were in my organization and say, hey, would you like the benefit of this ad? Meaning instead of me getting all the responses, I'll put them under you because you're in my team. That's that idea of, if you help enough other people get what they want, you can get what you want. It's actually putting that crap into action. Not that that's crap, but I'm just saying, putting it actually into action. A lot of people give lip service to these things. They say these things, but they don't actually take any action to actually implement those things. We've heard that idea. Zig Ziglar, the famous motivational speaker, used to teach that if you help enough other people get what they want, you can get what you want. Now, people will quote this, and they'll say this, but they don't actually do anything to implement that strategy in their life. And if you want to be a master salesman, if you actually do that, meaning the art of selling, when I sell something, when I sell you a book, I actually believe the book could help you. I believe that if you read it, implemented it, it would benefit you. And it's worth way more than the money you're charged. See, I believe that. I believed in that so much that I created a model around my books. And I began to say, hey, if you sell one of my books, I'll pay you. And that goes back to this idea of if you help enough people get what they want, you'll get what you want. So I went into a particular industry of people, other people who were trying to work from home, other people who had also joined 50 network marketing programs and failed. And I shared with them my story. And my story was, hey, my name's Gerald Peters. Like you, I've been in and out of a bazillion of these work-at-home programs. I never made any money. And so on a single piece of paper, I pitched my story. And my story was, hey, I'm like you. I've done many of the things like you. I state the problem. I identify with the story. I present a solution. And I offer to work with them, all on a single piece of paper. And so I took a single piece of paper. I put my picture on it. I put my phone number on it. I shared my story. And at the bottom, on the backside, I had a simple, I say single piece. It was a single piece of paper, two-sided. And I told them who I was. I pointed my three points of contact, a P.O. box, a phone number, and my website. And I began to mail this to people who were looking for me. And you say, well, how do you know they're looking for you? Because they're like me. This was a targeted mailing list of other people like me who were kind of people who are responding to back of ads, magazines when they're 13 and, you know, early adults. And so I'm targeting like-minded people with my offer. So I'm going to where there's people to go to. The Science of Getting Rich talks about this idea that you have to go to where there's people to do business with. right? And so I sewed my story into that group of people, and I began to mail this flyer. Now, what did it cost me to produce this flyer? Nothing. A pencil, a piece of paper, and some time. And I took all of those falling forward stories, all that stuff where I never made any money, and I took all that experience and I began to put it together and began to realize that I had learned a lot of things. I knew how to write a postcard. I'd learned how to write ads. I knew how to work the phone. I understood how to, you know, I could set up an 866 number and capture a lead's name and address, right? And so I began to put these pieces together, create a database, get some software, put together a website, connect it to a P.O. box, create a postcard that matched a flyer, create a series of several different postcards, write a booklet, put together a free info package. Like, single-handedly doing all of this myself, by myself, alone, for the sole purpose around this idea that if you help enough other people get what they want, you'll get what you want. Meaning I knew there was a whole bunch of people, millions of people who had tried to do this business and they had failed. And I said, well, if I could develop a strategy for them, like it's for them, like the entire strategy is to help them. And then if I do that, if I actually help them, then I'll get what I want. Like that had been drilled into my head. And then along the way, I'd met another mentor who told me this idea that what you give away, you get to keep. And so I began to put all these things together, this idea of giving away, this idea of helping people. And I put together this idea and I said, listen, if you, what I called pre-enroll, I began to create my own vernacular. Why create your own vernacular? Ask Starbucks. It's not small, medium, or large. Why? They're trying to stand out. They're trying to be different. So I began to create my own vernacular around my business. I began to try to stand out. Other people were going hard promoting on the internet. I didn't do that. I went through direct mail. I wanted to go directly to your home. Is it more expensive? Yes. But when you opened your mail and you're sitting in your living room, you weren't reading my email. You were physically holding my ad in your hand. And that could, I knew that could hang around your house. That could hang around your car. I had your physical home address. So instead of sending people something digital, I'm physically going into their house over and over and over and over, pitching the same exact story, staying on message consistently through repetition is the mother of skill. And the reason I began to develop skill is I had the same message, the same idea. And along with that comes branding, and along with that becomes people realizing, hey, this guy's for real. I've seen the same message, same ad, same picture over and over and over. And you begin to build credibility. See, what I realized is that most of the people in my industry have zero credibility. They go from program to program to program. I had done the same thing. I understand these are my people. And so I wanted to establish a marketing system that was bigger than them. They could promote, and the credibility was on the system and not them. And I rested that on me. That credibility was on me and on my picture. And I created a brand around a picture of me and my dog. And I put that on everything, every postcard, every magazine ad, every book, every letter, that same picture. Why? I'm ingraining in their mind, I'm just like you, I'm a guy like you. It begins to build trust. You look at my picture, you call my 866 number, what we used to call a sizzle line. I still use these. And I had a 2-minute pitch. And they're looking at my picture, they're hearing my voice. And then if you ever get me on the phone, it's the same voice. And so we see this pattern recognition. And most people who would come through, and I began to call this process the money flow. And I wrote a book about it in 2008, this marketing strategy, that it wasn't a one-time idea. It's not a one-time idea, it's a way of life. That I began to see everything as the money flow. I would go into a restaurant and I would observe their money flow. I go into Sears and I look at their money flow. Where are the salesmen? How quick did they greet me? Where do they get the money? Do they run ads? My mind begins processing the money flow. And I begin to see money everywhere. When someone's on their cell phone, I think, wow, shareholders are getting dividend payments. And I begin to see money everywhere. And I begin to realize it's there's no lack of money. You just don't have a money flow. And so I began to call everything the money flow. And as I aged and adult and became and had more money, I began to invest in real estate, and I created a strategy called the money flow around real estate. How does the money flow? How does it work? How does it go from the renter to my pocket? What are the stages? And that's called the money flow. And as I began to earn and develop more money, I began investing in the stock market. And I began creating these trading strategies around this idea called the money flow. And I began to trade things that produced monthly income. And this strategy carried me through every area of my life. And so I developed a life philosophy. A life philosophy. But other people don't tend to do this. But great people, people who change the world, products who change the world, companies that change the world, they do this. They create this life philosophy, this way of viewing things. And I believe this gave me a distinct advantage in this world of direct mail and network marketing. And there may come a day where, you know, I'm a dinosaur and my strategy doesn't work, but, you know, and maybe the way we do it has to change, but I've purposely avoided doing much on the internet because I don't want my voice to get lost in that, because there's thousands and thousands of voices and people doing that and posting, and I don't want to get lost in it. I believe that what I have is too valuable to get lost in that mix. You know, and other people can do that. Other people can try that if they want to. But I stuck with the message. The message hasn't changed. Every day for 14 consecutive years, the exact same message. My company had the exact same message. Then we've changed colors. We've moved around the words. But the message is the same. Repetition is the mother of skill. Just doing it over and over and over and over and over and over, it is the key to success. Now, the compounding results that I've received from this have been astronomical. Meaning, I have people join my network marketing organization every day. Listen to what I'm saying. Every single day. Because they got information from me 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, every day. And I've never spoken to them. How does that happen when other people are just struggling to get a single sign up? How does that happen? It's called the money flow. And you can do this in any business, you know? Whether you run a pool business or a cleaning business, you just have to begin breaking down your money flow. And you have to begin, how do I capture a lead? You know, how do I process the lead? How do I store the lead? What do I do with the lead? Business is about leads. You have to learn to work your prospects and to move through those prospects. It's not about joining. And I'm able to prosper in an industry that has huge failure. Like 95% of everyone fail. And, you know, and I know why they fail. They don't have a money flow. It's not a philosophy. It's not a spiritual philosophy. It's just a once or twice or two time act that they're doing. You know, and so they come in and do business with me and they mail cards two or three times. Like, we're not even on the same planet, the game we're playing. I'm on a whole different level. Because for me, it's a way of living. Like, no one says, do I have to sleep again tonight? Do I have to eat again today? Why? No, it's just part of what you do. You go to the bathroom, you sleep, you eat. These are things that you do as a human being. The moment your business becomes an extension of you like that, like you eat it, breathe it, sleep it, exhale it, then business becomes easy. See, when the guitar becomes a natural extension of your arm, it's because you've played it so much that now that's when the music begins to be made, right? That's when you begin to make music. When I was able to just walk into a house and in my mind real quick know everything I needed to do, Like, it wasn't hard. It wasn't stressful. It wasn't, oh, I got to get these numbers right and I got to try to guess it. No, I just walk in and I just know. Why? Because of repetition. Because I eat, breathe, and sleep it, right? I've spent so much messing up, falling forward, that I know. I just know. I can do that now with stock charts. I just look at them and I say, yeah, it wants to go here. And then it goes there and people say, how'd you do that? Because I eat, breathe, and sleep this stuff. I've looked at this chart 20 times a day for 14 years. You don't think I see repetitive patterns? I've had the same phone call on the phone with the exact same pitch every day for 14 years. You don't think I get good at explaining it? You don't think I know what you're going to ask me before you ask me? I've never been asked a question I didn't already know the answer to. That's just repetition. So no one gets me on the phone and throws me off with a question. I know the question they're going to ask me before they ask me. And sometimes I'll stop them and say, let me guess what you're going to ask me. And they'll go, how'd you know that? Because I live, breathe, and sleep this, man. It's not a business, you know. It's not something I'm looking at from the outside. It's something I'm living. And so if you want to take your business, whatever your business is, to the next level, figure out your money flow. Because inside the money flow, that's your sweet spot. How do you generate the prospect? But before you generate the prospect, who is your prospect? Grant Cardone is known for saying, who's got my money? Now, you need to answer that question. If you sell cars, pools, if you drop, whatever it is you do, who has your money? See, I know who has my money. I buy a mailing list of people who have my money. And then I take my offer and I share it just with those people. People who are already inclined to do business with me. And then everyone who calls me, it's just a matter of how soon and how fast and what level they're buying at. Isn't that beautiful? There's no chasing. There's no talking people into. There's no, hey, would you come do? No. They're just coming to me. It's called the money flow. If you're interested in that and you've never read my book, The Money Flow, I'd be happy to send you a copy.